back to the No Shingar No Play podcast. We are back after what an amazing last set of group stage games here in the 2020 World Cup in Qatar. Like, my God, was it a roller coaster ride? I'm doing this now. Obviously, it is Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, the second round begins, the knockout stages. And, you know, some teams that we assumed would make it to this stage did make it. And then we had a lot of just surprises. So we're going to kind of break down what happened in this last set of group stage games and then kind of look forward to the knockout stage. And here I will be giving my prediction of how the bracket laid out and how I believe we will get to the winner of the 2022 World Cup. So let's get started with Group A, where coming in, we had the Netherlands and Ecuador tied with 4 points, Senegal with 3, and Qatar already eliminated. Simple enough, Netherlands took care of business, 2-0 win over Qatar. We expected that. We knew it. They won this group. The surprise came. Senegal beat Ecuador 2-1. I was not expecting that. I said from the jump when we heard that Sadio Mane was going to be out that I didn't think that this Senegalese team was going to be able to advance. And after watching Ecuador's first two games, I was like, oh, no, hey, Ecuador could even won this group, in my opinion. But Senegal came out and played their asses off. Ecuador, I felt like maybe gave up too much energy in those first two games, especially in that game against the Netherlands, and they just kind of got caught slipping, and they were a little too tired, but it was heartbreaking for Ecuador. Honestly, like, the way that team played, like, we all expected them to advance in this group, and like I said, even could have contested for first place. I thought they were going to beat Senegal, maybe like a 2-0, and then somehow, some way, still end up in first place. But that wasn't what happened. I do think that this Ecuadorian team has a bright future. They have a lot of young players, and I feel like we will be seeing them in 2026 here in the United States, Mexico, and Canada. But the way this group ended up, the Netherlands took first place, Senegal was in second, Ecuador came in third, and unfortunately Qatar, the host nation, is out. They are the second host nation to be not advance past the first round. The other one was South Africa in 2010, and I believe they are the first home nation to not even gain a single point in history. So, you know, that kind of shows that this whole tournament, like, you know, it was given to Qatar. We all kind of know that it was just a big, like, the huge scandal that came out of this. So, you know, we've talked about that already, and, you know, they weren't at the level of soccer that they should be to be in the World Cup. So, and this was the only way they were going to get in. I don't think that going through qualifying, they would have made it in. I think they would have been, like, fifth or sixth in their group in Asia. So it just goes to show you that, you know, it might have been a mistake to have this team play in this tournament. Moving on to Group B. And this group was a little more open. We had England with 4 points. We had Iran with 3 points. The United States with 2, and Wales with 1 point. Now, going into this, we had Wales playing England and the United States playing Iran. And first, England took care of business. I expected them to win this game, but I thought it was going to be a closer match because usually when I've seen Wales and England play, it's always like 2-1, 1-0, 1-1. Like, it's always something, it's always a tight game. But England showed up, took care of business. I think Marcus Rashford had 2, and Phil Foden had 1, and they showed their class. They ended up winning the group with that win. Now, with Iran and the United States had to win. They were in a must-win situation. Iran just needed a point. And the United States came out and played a very good game. Very gritty. I liked the change that Greg Berhalter made. I usually talk a lot of shit about Greg Berhalter. I'm not a fan, but starting Carter Vickers over Walker Zimmerman, I think, was the right move. Cameron Carter Vickers was amazing in that game, down in defense in the center in the center back position, and I'm so happy for him. A beautiful goal, beautiful team goal by the United States with that beautiful ball by Weston McKennie, Serginho Dest coming in and just putting a head on it, putting it right back in the middle. Christian Pulisic literally putting his body on the line and scoring that goal. He did get subbed off right after that. The story was that he got hit in the, you know, the down low area. And from what I read today, I don't know if it's true. I think Christian was kind of saying that it wasn't. But what I heard was during halftime, they said, hey, go to the bathroom, go take a leak. And while he was taking a leak, it was all bloody. And they're like, oh, no, you got to go. You might have some kind of internal bleeding. And they subbed him off, took him to the hospital. Thank God he's okay. And I know that he's been cleared to play tomorrow. How much will he play is a question, but he has been cleared to play for tomorrow. And the United States was able to hold off and win that game. Once again, I was not a fan of the subs that Greg Berhalter, once again, leaving Gio Reyna out. I don't understand what the issue between Greg Berhalter and Gio Reyna is. There were stories coming out that he asked Gio to lie about his injury status, and there's just been a whole lot of drama going on there. And we, as United States fans, don't understand. This kid is like he's the next up and comer. He's like the next superstar, and he's only played 7 minutes in this whole tournament. It doesn't make sense. And they're not saying that he's in, like, no one's saying that he's injured. Nobody's saying he's not fit to play. So why is he not playing? It doesn't make sense. You know, I like Brendan Aaronson coming in. Brendan Aaronson came in the second half and he played, instead of playing midfield like the way that Berhalter's been having him, he was playing in the winger spot, and I felt like he's a little bit more dangerous there. He had good runs, good plays down the middle. So, you know, I would like to see some changes for tomorrow, because the United States ended up coming up in second, so they advanced, and it's going to be the United States versus the Netherlands and England versus Senegal in the next round. And you know, those are two really good games in my opinion. So that's where we are with Group A and Group B. Moving on to Group C. Coming in Group C, we had France with all 6 points. Australia had a surprise win versus Tunisia, so they had 3 points. Denmark and Tunisia, I believe, had 1 point each. And it was Denmark versus Australia and Tunisia versus France. Now, France ended up sitting about eight or nine of their guys, and Tunisia ended up winning that game 1-0. And it was a beautiful win for Tunisia, a team that, you know, actually played pretty decently well. I feel like they had a really good showing in this tournament, and they needed a different result in the other game, and they didn't get it. Coming into this tournament, Denmark was a team that a lot of people favored to be a dark horse for this tournament, to maybe even win this tournament. I had them going as far as the semis. Denmark is out. Australia beat Denmark 1-0. This Australian team coming in, myself, if you guys have not listened to the Give and Go podcast, check them out on YouTube, on Spotify, all that. I love listening to those guys speak about the beautiful game. And I was in agreement when they said, this is the worst Australian team coming into a tournament like that we've ever seen. Especially during this generation of Australian soccer, where they've actually been qualifying to the World Cups pretty nonstop. So for this team to have 6 points and advance out of this group is insane to me. Like, wow. This Australian team had a lot of grit, a lot of, like, just fire. They played so well defensively. And Denmark just looked so bad this whole tournament. Like, you know, I think they were just saying that a lot of these guys were just not in form at all. And it showed. They scored one goal in three games. You know, their attack looked lackluster, non-threatening, like, it was insane. And this whole game, Australia played defensively, and then they just tried to pick the Danish part on a counterattack, and Lecky with a fucking run of his life and putting that ball right past Schmeichel into the bottom corner. I clap for Australia. I'm so happy that they were able to, you know, should kind of shut up a lot of us that said that they were the worst team in this group, that they were like the worst Australian team ever at a tournament. Congratulations to Australia. So the way this group ended up finishing, France was in first, Australia in second, Tunisia in third, and Denmark, so disappointing, in last place. It was very disappointing for me, especially like after last year's European Championship, the Christian Eriksen situation. They made it all the way to the semifinals, and they come back. Christian Eriksen comes back. This is probably one of his final tournaments as a pro, and this is what they showed. Like it was just very disappointing to me. So, moving on, Group D. Coming into this group, everyone was alive. Coming into this like last set of games, everyone was alive. You had Poland in first place. You had Argentina in second. You had Saudi Arabia in third, and Mexico in last place. So coming into here, Argentina needed a win to advance. Mexico needed a win. Everyone basically needed a win to advance. And Argentina showed up and took care of business. I think that loss to Saudi Arabia in the first game was kind of a wake-up call for Argentina. They played very well and took a 2-0 win against Poland. Now, this is where we're going to go into a little bit of a craziness here. So, with Argentina being up 2-0, because it was pretty quickly how Argentina was up 2-0. With that win, Mexico needed to win by 3 goals. If not, they needed it was a goal difference between Mexico and Poland. Because if Mexico won and Argentina won, they needed Poland to lose by 2 or more, and then they needed to win by 2 or more. Problem was that's exactly what happened, or that's what was going on during the game. So between in the first half, I believe both scores were 0-0 going into halftime. Coming out of halftime, Mexico scored 2-1 goal by Henry Martin, and then a fucking rocket by Luis Chavez. And by the 60th minute, they were up 2-0. Argentina scored 2 goals, one by, I believe it was McAllister, and then the other one by Julian Alvarez. So then it's 2-0. So at that point, Mexico and Poland had the same amount of points, had the same amount of goals scored, and the same amount of goals against. So Mexico needed to score one more goal, or they needed Argentina to score one more goal. Or for Poland's sake, they needed to score a goal, or they needed Saudi Arabia to score a goal. And Mexico had close to 30 minutes to find one more goal. And they had chances. I want to say they put like 2 or 3 in the back of the net, but were ruled offsides, so they did not count. Argentina was helping. They were attacking. They were going for it. They were trying to give Mexico the help. And the Polish defense was fucking working out there. So it ended up that Saudi Arabia got a goal in about the 92nd minute. And then Mexico honestly still just needed one more goal, because I believe the tiebreakers go from points to goal difference. From goal difference, if it's the same goal difference, then you go to goals scored, then goals against, and so on and so forth. So when they were 2-2, or when it was 2-0, Poland was still advancing from what's called the fair play act or whatever, and it's basically the amount of yellow and red cards that you got. And because Mexico had a little bit, I think 1 or 2 more yellow cards, that Poland was advancing. And then he got even more sketchy, because a Polish player got a yellow card and they subbed him right away, because they were like, oh yeah, if he picks up a red card, then Mexico automatically would win because of that red card. It was really weird. I had never seen that. But it didn't end up happening. Mexico got scored on in the 92nd minute, 2-1. Mexico loses, or Mexico wins, but ultimately loses by not advancing out of this group. And I want to go in deep into this, but I feel like this could be a whole other episode after the World Cup, because I would like to dive into like kind of the state of the CONCACAF after this tournament, but I will go in to say a couple things here before I move on to the next subject in hand. Mexico, this is the biggest fracaso that they've had. This is the first time since 1978 that they do not advance out of the group stage. This is probably the worst moment for Mexican soccer in quite some time. Not getting out of this group is terrible. It's, like we said, a fracaso. It's an embarrassment because they were better than Poland. They were better than Saudi Arabia. Let's be real. They did not take care of business when they had it. They had Poland on the ropes. And honestly, if it wasn't for Ochoa, they would have lost that game 1-0. We wouldn't have even been considering this game a must-win for Mexico. But what I'm saying is that Mexico really needs to look at themselves and find out what's their priority. Because I, in my opinion, and I've been saying this for a long time, and I'm not a Mexico supporter. I don't root for Mexico. Everyone who knows me, I make that very clear. I don't talk shit about them, though, like that. Because I see the quality they have. They have amazing players. But what I've always seen from Mexico soccer, and I have friends that tell me this and everything, it's all about money with the federation, with the owners, with the clubs in Mexico. And they need to figure out what's more important. Is it the bottom line, the dollar and the cents? Or is it for our team to be what I think they are? Because I think Mexico should be the team de la CONCACAF that should have been like the first team to qualify to the semifinals or to even win the World Cup. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I've always seen Mexico. Mexico's always been the Los Gigantes de la CONCACAF. And I feel like they've taken a step back while the United States and Canada have taken a step forward. And I think right now at this moment, it's the time for Mexico to look and say, you know what, as a federation, as a nation, we need to give all the support to the national team and how to develop players. You know, one thing that I've been hearing a lot about ever since this game on Wednesday was how players, Mexico has players. Mexico has a lot of young players, good players, but they don't develop well in Mexico. And then once they're in a pretty good situation for them to leave to go to Europe or to other clubs, the price tag is too high. So they don't develop. There's guys like Rodolfo Pizarro, who at one time was a hot name. He was ready to go to Europe. And instead, they sold him to Inter Miami to the MLS. You know, in my opinion at that time, the La Liga MX was a better league than the MLS. And for him not going to Europe, I think was a... It was like almost like a demotion. Him going to the MLS instead of going to Europe. Like, you know, he should have gone and challenged himself more. You know, there's been guys like Salcedo, the defender, who after, I think it would have been the World Cup. Like, he was another guy that was pegged to go to Europe. I think some Italian teams and some teams in Portugal were looking at him. Instead, he goes from Pachuca to Tigres, and then his career falls off. So I just think that, you know, they really need to look at themselves and do what the United States did. Start over with young talent. And that's already been an issue. Guillermo Ochoa basically stated that he wants to come back for his sixth World Cup in 2026. And if I'm correct, he's going to be almost 40 at that time. Instead of him just being, you know what, I did my time. It's Acevedo's time. You know, it's, you know, another keeper's time. But this is the problem with Mexico. You can't do that. You got to let these young kids develop. And that's why I hope that this is the time they let a new coach come in. Don't go back to Piojo Herrera. I'm going to continue stressing that. Don't go back to Piojo. Get a new coach. Let him work. Let him get his players. Let him figure it out. Also, you don't have World Cup qualifying coming up. You're already in the next World Cup because you're the you're one of the hosts. You're already qualified. Something else I've been hearing, stop doing these games in the United States against lower quality teams. Start playing more European sides, African sides, Asian sides out of the United States. These games are more cash grabs than anything. They don't really help the national team. So start finding a way to get better friendlies to actually mean something. So I know I went kind of a little bit of a rant there. I'm gonna have more to say. Like I said, I think I'm gonna be dropping a post World Cup episode where I'm just gonna kind of go with the state of La CONCACAF from here. So let's move on to Group E, which was you had Croatia in first, Morocco in second, Belgium in third, and Canada in last. Now, Morocco just needed a tie to advance to the next round. A win and another result could have them win the group. And you had Croatia and Belgium playing off, and Belgium basically had to win the game. Now, Croatia and Belgium tied at zero. They are out of the World Cup. Belgium, a team that a lot of people also had as a dark horse to win this tournament. And it shouldn't even be a dark horse, because for the last 10 fucking years, I've been hearing nonstop how this is Belgium's golden generation, how this team was going to win something big, and they didn't win a single fucking thing. And I'm pissed off about it, because this team, with all the fucking talent that they had, they couldn't advance out of this group. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, what? This team, Kevin De Bruyne, Lukaku, who goddamn missed four fucking chances in that game. Fuck, like Meunier, Eden Hazard, Courtois, like, these are fucking world-class names, and they couldn't advance out of this group? Like, what? It's insane to me. And I think from the moment that Kevin De Bruyne said, this World Cup, this team cannot win a World Cup, we are too old, that was the downfall of this team. You cannot say that shit during a tournament. And I am like, I feel like just him saying that sabotages this whole team, because then they're like, okay, well, if our best fucking player does not think that we are good enough to fucking advance or to do something, then I'm not going to believe in this team. And I think that brought them down. That's fucking terrible for him to say. Croatia, I thought, was not going to advance out of this group. I actually had Canada and Belgium, and both those teams are out. Croatia ended up second in this group. Fucking Morocco, first place. Holy shit. Morocco, I clap for you. Morocco impressed me in this fucking group. They won this group, and it was well-deserved. They played great football, and with the world, because they have some Ziyech, Hakimi, good fucking players. And this, I think, was the most impressed I've been. The other impressive show that they had was 1998, where they ended up being third in that group, because it was Brazil, Norway, Scotland, and Morocco. And I think that was Morocco's return to the tournament. I think that was like their second appearance ever. And they played really fucking well in that tournament, unable to advance out of the group stage. Here, they fucking win the group. Like, holy shit. So, happy for Morocco. Tough next round. We're going to talk about who they play next. But happy for Morocco. Canada had a fantastic first game, and I was so impressed with them, but I feel like they just overworked themselves in that first game and ran out of energy afterwards, and they were unable to do anything after that. So I'm happy for Morocco, sad for Canada, pissed off about Belgium, and yeah, Croatia. You know, I think this is their last stand with this group of players, Luka Modric and all those players, so, you know, we'll see what happens after that. But Morocco in first, Croatia in second, Belgium in third, and Canada in last. That's how that group ended up being. We'll move on to what was the most fascinating group, and you wouldn't think it would have been fascinating. So coming into this group, we had two giants, a kind of middle-of-the-road team, and a bottom team. So you had your two giants, Germany and Spain. You had your middle of the road, which you would say Japan would be. They're kind of like the middle team here. And Costa Rica is the bottom team, right? So coming into this last group, set of games, you had Spain with 4 points. You had Japan with 3. You had Costa Rica with 3, and Germany with no points. So here, all the teams were still alive. Costa Rica needed a win or tie, or actually I think a win would have advanced, but they were playing Germany. Germany needed a win plus a Spain win for them to advance, and Japan just needed a draw or win for them to be able to advance. So, first, Costa Rica concedes a goal, 1-0. Spain scores a goal, so it's 1-0 for Spain, 1-0 for Germany. And at that point, I'm like, okay, well, it's status quo. This is what's gonna happen. And I'm at work, and I was watching these games at lunch, so I was like, okay, well, it is what it is. And I was like, you know what, Costa Rica is gonna fucking get wrecked like 7-0 again, like they just did against Germany or against Spain. So I'm like, I don't even want to watch it. And I was like, Spain, I don't like watching Spain. I think they're really boring. All they do is kind of like touch the ball, just pass back and forth, and like it's not my style of game that I like. I like more high intensity, like running up the field, down the field. But hey, that's the style they play. So it was what it was. So like I said, I'm at work. So any chance I get, like, just look at my phone and see scores. Next time I check my phone, it is 1-1 Spain, or 1-1 Spain and Japan, 1-1 Costa Rica and Germany. And I'm like, okay, holy shit, what's going on? Like, all right, well, these teams are going to come back. I check it maybe like 10, 15 minutes later. You're telling me that Costa Rica is now winning 2-1. And for a minute, they were advancing to the next round. I was like, excuse me? Then next thing you know, Japan scores on a very controversial goal because they were saying the ball went out, and VAR and the line, like the line judge or whatever that they had in the camera, basically had the ball, like the edge of the ball touching the line. So the ball was still in play and knocking back in. And now Japan and Costa Rica are advancing, and then Germany and Spain are out. I was like, what the fuck is going on? This was insane. And then I'm getting people texting me like, are you fucking watching this? What the hell is going on? That was short-lived. Costa Rica gives up 3 goals to Germany, which was going to happen. Germany was like, all right, we got to score. But at this point, this isn't enough for Germany, because points-wise, Japan now has 6 points, and with this win, Germany only has 4. So it did not matter for them. They needed Spain to score 2 goals, and we ended up with Japan beating Spain, Germany beating Costa Rica, who Costa Rica, once again, after that shit performance they had first, ended up beating Japan and then playing a tough game against Germany. I clap for you, man. I'm happy for you. For this last stand of Brian Ruiz, of Celso Borges, Joel Campbell, Keylor Navas, Kendall Watson, all those guys, I'm proud of them. Oscar Duarte, el Nicotica, proud of them. You know, they showed fight, they showed pride, the pura vida, esa pura vida, they showed it. And I'm proud of them, even though they didn't advance out of this group, I'm proud of them. But now Germany's home too. For the second straight World Cup, Germany doesn't make it out of the group stage. That's a surprise. And not only that, Japan won this group. By Japan beating Spain, Japan wins the group. What? Japan won this fucking group. Are you fucking kidding me? This World Cup has been insane. Not only do you have Morocco topping a group with 2 European strong teams, you both Croatia and Belgium both made it to the semifinals in the last World Cup, and they damn near have the same teams. Morocco topped that group, and now you have Spain and Germany, 2 teams that have won the World Cup. Spain won the 2010, Germany won 2014, and now Japan wins that group? What? Man, crazy football we've had. So, Japan, Spain advance, Germany's going home. Insane. And then today's games. So, Portugal already had in this group G. Portugal already had their ticket to the next round with 6 points. They won their first 2 games. You had Ghana, who won their last game with 3 points. And then you had Korea and Uruguay tied with 1 point. So Uruguay needed to win and have Korea lose. Ghana needed a tie and then a Korea loss, or a win, for them to advance. And this was Ghana's revenge game too. Ghana lost to Uruguay, 2010 World Cup, that Luis Suarez handball where it was 120th minute. Ghana wins. They go to the semifinals. Would have been the first African team to ever qualify for that for the semifinals. Header, Luis Suarez handballs it. He's like, oh, me? I didn't touch it with my hand. Fucking direct red card. He goes out. Asamoah Gyan walks up, hits the post. Ball goes over the net. They go to penalties. Loco Alvarado scores the fifth goal with the Panenka. Ghana out. Uruguay advances. This was Ghana's revenge game. They got some revenge. Not the revenge they probably hoped for, but they got some revenge because Uruguay ended up winning the game 2-0. But Korea beat Portugal 2-1 with a 93rd minute goal where they beat Portugal and advance to the next round by goal difference because they had the same amount of goals of four. I think they scored more goals. That's what it was. They scored more goals. So if Uruguay scored one more goal, they had a chance. And there was a little controversy in that Uruguay game. Towards the end, Cavani was making a run. He slowed down and initiated the contact, but the player did come from behind and trip Cavani up, and no penalty was given, no VAR review. And I know that I've seen a lot of people say, hey, that was a penalty. In my opinion, I probably would have given that penalty as well, but it was... I don't know. It's tough to see. I would love to hear a referee come out. I follow a few referees on TikTok, and I would love to hear their opinion because, in my opinion, because I used to ref before, but in that one, just me seeing it, it looks like a PK, but I'm not sure. So, but we have Portugal topping that group, and Ghana, and Uruguay going home. Korea in second place. So, did not have that. I had Uruguay and Portugal advancing, but you know. It is what it is, right? So there. And then last group that we have, Brazil was already advanced, 6 points. They had Switzerland with 3 points. Cameroon and Serbia had 1 point each. Brazil did the same thing that France did, sat a bunch of players. Cameroon got a 1-0 win against fucking Brazil. Hey, good job, Cameroon. They actually needed, if the other game would have gone different result, they would have had a fighting chance to advance, but unfortunately didn't for them. Switzerland ended up winning 3-2, and they ended up having 6 points and advancing out of this group. Brazil in first, Switzerland in second. And, you know, Serbia is another team that I think was a little bit of disappointment for me, simply because I had that team going quite far. I expected more from them, but unfortunately they did not. So... you know, that's my fault for having a little bit too much faith in a team that I just kind of heard people hyping up and didn't do my research clearly enough. So with that being said, these are the games that we have for the next round. We have the Netherlands versus the United States. And I'm going to go by one side of the group and the other side of the group. So on the, if you look at it, the left side of the group, the United States versus the Netherlands, Argentina versus Australia, Japan, Croatia, Brazil, and Korea. That's one side of the group, or one side of the bracket. The other side of the bracket, you have England, Senegal, France, Poland, Morocco, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland. So with that being said, I'm just going to go ramble off one side of the group and the other side of the group. Netherlands, United States, tomorrow. That's the game tomorrow. I'm a U.S. supporter. I want them to win. I really, really do. I don't think they will. I think Netherlands will win this game 3-2, 2-1, something around there. And I think Netherlands will advance. Argentina, Australia, I think this isn't an easy game for Argentina. I think they're going to struggle a little bit, but I still think they will come out and win this game. Japan, Croatia is an interesting game, and I think Japan will win this game and advance. Brazil, Korea, not an easy game for Brazil, because Korea is very well organized. Brazil will win this, though. So in the last eight, you're going to have the Netherlands versus Argentina. I think that's an excellent fucking game, but I have Argentina winning that game. Japan, Brazil. That's a good fucking game, because I think this fucking Japanese team is really fucking good. But this Brazilian team, I think it's too much for them. I think this is where Japan's road will end, and Brazil will make it to the semifinals where you're going to have a Argentina-Brazil matchup. And I'm going to go Argentina. I'm sorry. I can't. I have to go with Argentina. So I have Argentina making it to the finals on one side of the bracket. This other side of the bracket, England-Senegal is a fucking fascinating game. If Sadio Mane was in this fucking game, I'm going to Senegal. But because he's not, I'm going to go with England. It's not an easy game, though. I'll say that right fucking now. It's not an easy game. France-Poland, France easy. I have not liked this Poland team. I wish Mexico was here because I had my fucking Zidane jersey and I was going to rock that shit against Mexico, but they couldn't do that for me for this game, but it is what it is. France will win this game pretty easily. Morocco-Spain. Probably Spain. Even though I want Morocco to win this game, I think probably Spain will win this game. France, Switzerland. Okay. Switzerland can beat Portugal. I don't know if I said it's Portugal, Switzerland. Switzerland can beat Portugal. And I have the Swiss winning this game. I have them winning this game. So you're going to have England, France. England. I like England in this game. And Spain, Switzerland, I think. See, here, group of four, I could be wrong there. I'm just kind of going, I really wanted to go Morocco in that one and go Morocco versus Switzerland. But for some reason, I think Spain's just going to get it done. Spain goes on to the semifinal. Spain beats Switzerland. England, Spain, I think England. And I think you have England versus Argentina in the final where Argentina wins. And Messi gets his World Cup. That's just me. I don't know. Like, it's tough for me to say, but that's just kind of with what I'm going for. So I think probably I'm going to come back once this set of games are over. So the last round of 16, whenever these are over, which I think it's – they play Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So probably Tuesday night, I'll probably drop another episode and preview the Los Octavos, the last eight, and, you know, see what I got right, see what I got wrong. And, you know, go and then probably give you a new little prediction for what I think is going to happen after that. So, you know, thank you for listening. I appreciate anyone who listens to any of my episodes. Usually I just do this for fun. I don't think a lot of people listen to it. It is what it is. I enjoy doing it. It's something that I like. It's my own time where I can, you know, just ramble on and talk shit like I usually like doing. So anybody who listens, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And till next time, talk to you later.